Welcome to the Deep Dive. We sift through sources to bring you the key insights, the important stuff. And today, well, we're tackling something many of us have strong opinions on, standardized testing. But what if the whole idea was maybe flawed right from the get-go? There's this question Peter Green asked over at Forbes: is the big standardized test a big standardized flop? And our main source today, an article by Gary Ackerman from back in September 2018 on hackscience.education, it gives a pretty clear answer, a definite yes. Now, lots of reasons have been thrown around for why these tests haven't worked out as hoped, but the source, it goes a bit deeper. It argues it was actually doomed to fail from the very beginning. Why? Because it was built on what the author calls an untenable foundation. Okay, let's unpack this. The basic problem, according to Ackerman, seems to be trying to shoehorn a scientific lab experiment model onto, well, messy, complex human education. The article kicks off by looking at why standardized testing and this whole accountability movement even started. The basic argument was, you know, the public should only pay for what works in schools. And how do we know what works? Well, we measure it. Seems simple enough, right? Especially if you got a science background.
Oh, absolutely. That approach feels very familiar if you've spent time in, say, the natural sciences. Science often uses this pretty straightforward method for finding answers. You set up an experiment, you control everything in the environment, keep it all constant, except for just one single thing, one variable. Then you change that one variable for a specific group, that's your treatment group. After you make the change, you measure. You look for any growth or change you're interested in. And here's the key. Any change you see, you can confidently say it was caused only by that one thing you changed, because everything else was held steady. The source gives a really good example, actually, from Motney. Imagine a student, maybe an undergrad, growing legumes hydroponically under grow lights, very control. They'd manage everything meticulously, the nutrient mix, the substrate they're growing in. They'd even randomize the seeds, make sure all the plants are right next to each other, total control. Then for just one group of those plants, the treatment group, they add something tiny. Let's say trace amounts of heavy metals to the nutrient water. Now, if they then observe fewer nodules, those are the little root growths that grab nitrogen from the air if they see fewer nodules only on that group. Well, the conclusion is pretty inescapable. The heavy metals caused it. Nothing else could have. And that really gets to the heart of it. These experiments, they're specifically designed to remove the environment as a factor. Right. You're stripping away all the complexity to isolate one single cause and its effect.
Okay, that makes total sense. In a lab, where you can control light, water, nutrients, everything. But taking that idea and applying it to education, to kids in a classroom, that feels like a huge leap. So here's where it gets really interesting, or maybe really problematic. What happens when you try to map that super controlled science model onto a school?
That is precisely the issue Ackerman raises. It's the fundamental flaw. Students, as the source puts it, they live in a rich and variable environment.
Rich and variable. Yeah, that sounds about right.
And that difference, it's not just a small detail you can tweak. It's basically an insurmountable barrier for that specific experimental model. You just cannot, I mean, and you wouldn't even want to control all of the variables that affect how they attend, engage with, and learn in school.
Right. Think about everything that affects a student on any given day.
Exactly. Their home life, what resources they have access to, how they're feeling emotionally, their health, did they sleep well, are they interested, what did they eat for breakfast? All these things, they're huge variables, constantly changing.
Impossible to control.
Totally impossible. And because we can't possibly control or even account for all those factors in a student's environment, well, then we have no scientifically rigorous way, using that model, to say that this specific teaching method caused that specific change in test scores. The link, that direct cause and effect, it just gets completely lost in the noise. It's untraceable.
Wow. So the entire premise, the very foundation of using standardized tests in this way for accountability, was shaky from day one. That's a pretty big claim. It suggests it wasn't just about choosing the wrong tests or bad implementation. It was the core concept itself that didn't fit the reality of learning. Now, the source does mention, you know, the other common criticisms people have. Things like, what are these tests really measuring? Are the constructs even well-defined?
Yeah.
Questions about validity, reliability, how the data is collected, ethical concerns. Those all get a nod.
Right. The author acknowledges those are out there.
But the main thrust, the thing this article really hammers home and what we're focusing on, is that initial fundamental flaw, the misapplication of the experimental design.
Exactly. What's fascinating here is the argument that you don't even need to get bogged down in debating those other details. The core idea, the attempt to treat education like a controlled botany experiment, was flawed from the start. The foundation was just untenable, as the author says.
Built on sand, essentially.
Pretty much.
And the article touches on the human side of this too, doesn't it? The cost. It makes the point. It is unfortunate that a generation of students suffered while we pursued this approach that was perhaps fundamentally mismatched to the task.
Yeah, that's a sobering thought.
So wrapping this up, the key takeaway for you listening is this. According to this source, the big standardized test didn't just stumble. It potentially failed because its very premise was flawed. It was built on that untenable foundation, trying to use a scientific model designed for tightly controlled labs and applying it to the messy, complex, wonderful, rich, and variable world where actual humans learn.
Mm-hmm. And if we sort of connect this to the bigger picture, really grasping this foundational issue, it changes how you might think about evaluating education entirely. It pushes you beyond just critiquing a test, you know? It makes you question the whole framework we use to decide what works in such a complex system like learning.
Which definitely leaves us with a big question to chew on, doesn't it? If that strict scientific experimental model, the one described here, really can't be neatly applied to measure what works in education. And how do we genuinely understand and foster better learning in this incredibly rich and variable world we all live in? Something to think about. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.